I'm so glad knowing all that stuff happened those 2 years ago. I'm so glad it happened and it happened for me because it needed to in order for me to become the person I am today. So if I had a time machine and could go back, I would not switch a thing because I needed to experience that just so I could be the person I am today.
Welcome to Give a Heck. I am your host, Dwight Heck, and for much of my life, lived my life in quiet desperation, wondering how I was going to pay the bills, take vacations, save for retirement, and one day wondering if I would get off the hamster wheel of life and have purpose. A life that most of society lives, which takes us to work, then home, then repeat, and pays us hopefully enough just to survive. The harsh truth that most live with more month than money and have no idea how to live life on purpose, not by accident. This ensures the mass majority are living not just financially broke, however emotionally and mentally as well due to financial pressures. In each episode, I will introduce you to thoughts, ideas, and guests that can help you to learn how you too can live life on purpose, not by accident.
Good day, and welcome to Give a Heck. On today's show, I welcome Carlo Tormina. Carlo's background in personal training, life coaching, and as a keynote speaker has naturally gravitated him to helping others prosper and grow. Carlo has achieved the near impossible, as he puts it, when he describes overcoming clinical depression and suicidal ideation, and rose from the depths of his mental illness to share his story. A story of overcoming self-doubt, destroying limiting beliefs, and unleashing the real you in order to help those in similar positions. From sharing his story on social media, coaching clients, and speaking on larger stages, Carlo's teachings have led to people approaching him and sharing how his teaching has saved their lives. I'd like to welcome you to the show, Carlo. Thanks so much for agreeing to come on and share with us some of your life journey.
Well, thank you for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. I look forward to our conversation. Anything that can help out one individual is all I'm ever looking for, right? One person that's been living in quiet desperation, not looking, you know, in the mirror because they don't like what they see, right? And that limiting self-belief and that self-doubt, everything that you've experienced, I've experienced it myself. I've had to develop and learn things and utilize my own life skills coaching business that I have outside of my finance practice to help people level up, right? And they're looking for somebody to say, wow, Carlo, that guy's me. I'm a version of him. If he can do it, I can do it. Basically giving people hope, right? And unfortunately today, there's not enough hope in the world. All there is doom and gloom and naysayers. There's political advocates that fight one another and say they're caring about their constituents, or there's people in any form of influence, really religious, it can be on any level, that say they really care, but do they really? What are they doing? They're talking, but there's no action behind it. So it's nice to have somebody like yourself on the show that has taken action to continually level up and work on their lives. And really, at the end of the day, you, just like me, are going to work on yourself the rest of your life. That's the only way that we can capture and encapsulate that happiness that we all deserve, is by being intentional in our lives, right? So one of the things I focus on, Carlo, is a person's origin story. It's so important for those new to the show, watching or listening. The origin story of somebody just isn't from what happened from high school on. It's their earliest recollections, what actually sparked them to go on specific paths. It can be, I've heard stories from people from, you know, grade school to all of a sudden they're in high school or college or university, and these little integral things, these little stories that have happened, their vulnerabilities catapult them different ways throughout their lives. Sometimes it's really good things, sometimes it's sad things, but it's our lives. And, you know, I'd appreciate it if you could share your earliest recollections from childhood to adulthood that led you to where you're at currently.
Yeah, of course. So I remember back to my earliest memories when I was a kid. All I wanted to do was help people. You know, and I've always told myself that I wanted to make my mark in the world. I wanted to, you know, leave it better than I found it. I want to help people. And that's always been like a part of my DNA. You know, ever since I was a kid, I'd always, you know, like give a buck to someone who needed it. That was just my personality. And the fulfilling feeling from that just kind of fueled that feeling even more. And it's just something that was kind of in me for since I was a kid. And I remember even telling my mom when I was a kid, I was like, I just want to help people. But I didn't necessarily know how exactly I was going to do it. But I knew eventually when I developed into a teenager, into a young adult, you know, that feeling never left. But I told myself, like, I want to do something great. I want to be like the Leonardo da Vinci of the world, like the Tony Robbins of the world. Like, everybody knows this person. Not for the significance of, oh, hey, look at me, but of the impact that one can make. And I told myself, I was like, my great, great grandkids are going to read about me in the history books. That's what I want. So as time progressed and I became an adult, you know, I've always loved fitness. I've always loved just improving yourself physically because this is our temple. This is, you know, we get one body, so we might as well take care of it. I really fell in love with fitness when I was 18 years old. And then from that love of fitness, I kind of got obsessed with it. So much so to the point I became a personal trainer because I was like, you know what? I want to help people and I want to take my love for fitness and I kind of want to marry the two because I think that's a match made in heaven. So I began personal training. That was my first business. I was an online personal trainer and simultaneously I was working in a couple of gyms here and there. And when I was probably around like 22, 23, that's where I was like really, really serious about entrepreneurship, personal development. You know, I just want to go gung-ho, be the best version of myself, help people. And I remember telling myself that, you know, if I can build this business, if I can make a bunch of money, if I can get the six pack, right, that'll be proof to me that I could do anything I set my mind to. And it was kind of funny now that I think about it, and I've been thinking about it for quite a few months now. I didn't realize this was a problem until recently, that I was kind of chasing this need for significance, not for like from people or anything like that, but from myself, that says, oh, if I can do this, then that means I can do anything. So it was almost as if I didn't feel significant enough and love myself enough to the point where it kind of gave me permission to go for these things and really believe in myself and do it. And as I needed subconsciously this need for significance for myself, it was kind of like digging my own grave, if that makes sense, because every day I wasn't living up to that standard I held for myself, which was the high achiever, the entrepreneur, you know, the high performer, that guy. Every day that passed, I wasn't that. It kind of chipped away at me a little bit each time. And it was almost like an identity. It was an identity crisis because I didn't know who I was. I was like, this is who I want to be and who I'm trying to behave as. But yet everything from the external world is not reflecting that. And it made me feel less of myself. I had terrible self-worth. And to add on top of that, I went through toward the end of 2020, what I call my hell week. This is where like literally everything that could go wrong in my life did go wrong in 1 week. And it developed into a very serious and actually clinical depression diagnosis. And I was even suicidal. So what happened in this week was right before Christmas, right before my birthday, I was a manager of this one particular gym. And I got fired from this job. I got fired and I didn't know what to do. I felt really lost. I was like, oh my gosh, right before the holidays, right before my birthday, this is like the best thing that could ever happen, right? And then on top of that, I went through a really serious back injury. I had a herniated disc in my L5-S1 vertebrae. It was so painful. I couldn't walk for a period of time. And the worst thing that I could have done was just lay in bed like a vegetable and just be trapped with my thoughts. And then to add insult to injury, of course, the story has a girl in it because that's how it is. I was seeing this girl at the time, you know, and she was saying, oh my gosh, I love you so much. We're going to get married. We're going to have kids. We're going to do the whole nine yards. And I was like, oh, wow, this is real. Okay, I'm on board. She calls me one day, and I wasn't expecting this. She calls me and says, I want to break up. And I was like, wow, okay, just what I needed. And then to make matters worse, like I mentioned before, I started my own online personal training business. It was failing miserably. I was losing more money than I was spending more money than I was making. And I was pretty much going to debt. And I was like, what just happened? So I did one of those like self-reflection things. You know, I kind of took a step back and looked at the bigger picture, which was my life. And I was like, what just happened? What did I do to deserve this? Why me? I asked all of those questions and I was so lost. I didn't have any closure with anything that happened. And it was so bad. I just kind of came to a point where I just said to myself, like, I quit. Like, I truly don't care anymore, because what's the point of trying so hard to make something of myself, to improve myself as a person, as an entrepreneur, to do all these things, to accomplish, to achieve, to do this self-improvement, personal growth type stuff, if it doesn't work? You know what I mean? And I got really angry and I got really envious, because I would see like little 15-year-old girls on Instagram and TikTok doing their stupid dances, and then they're making money, getting brand deals, and they don't have to work a real job. And it really ate at me. Because I told myself, I was like, what am I doing wrong? What's so wrong with me? Like, I've been busting my hump since day one, since I was a kid. I've been trying to improve myself every single day since I was like 12 years old, trying to make something of myself and trying to leave my mark on the world. And yet it seems like others do it so effortlessly. So I just quit. I was done. I laid in bed every single day for a year. I barely left my bedroom, let alone my bed. You know, and it became this story I was telling myself that I was never good enough. I'll never amount to anything. I'm just a loser. It was so bad. I remember calling myself a professional loser, that if losing was an Olympic sport, I would be a gold medalist. And that's why I told myself on a daily basis, I was playing the same record over and over again. And it was so bad also to a point where I did not like the person I was and who I saw. So I purposely did not look at myself in the mirror. I couldn't look at that person because the self-hatred was so bad. And I was ashamed of myself. I was embarrassed of who I became. I didn't talk to family. You know, I lived at home at the time in my 20s, early 20s. And that was like another reason to feel great, right? I shut everything and everyone out, and I came really, really close. Like as clearly as you can imagine, because obviously we all have imagination. If you can imagine coming millimeters close to ending your life, that's where I was. And I didn't see a way out. And that's the only way I did see to solve my problem, so to speak. So I kind of took resort in maybe ending my own life, because I thought that was the only answer I could find. I'm so glad that that wasn't the answer. I found my breakthrough, you know, and it did not come easily, because it lasted for a year. And I remember one day, my family, they're like, hey, let's go out to lunch. Let's do something different. Let's just go hang out. And I said, no, let me stay here in bed. Leave me alone. And eventually they talked me into it. We went out to lunch, and it was the most awkward lunch of my life, because I'm sitting there in the booth. I'm just eating my little salad, and I'm just like by myself. Like, I'm not engaged in the conversation whatsoever, and I'm just there. And toward the end of the meal, my brother was like, hey, come ride home with me, because I rode with my mom originally to the restaurant. So I rode with my brother back to the house. And then we parked in the driveway, and we had this like 10-minute conversation in the car that felt like an eternity. And this was the turning point of my life that put me on the path to finding my breakthrough, overcoming depression, suicide, finding my purpose, and how I became the coach and keynote speaker I am today. So with this conversation, my brother puts the car in park. And he's like, hey, man, like, what are we going to do? How can we help you? Tell us, what can we do? Because we will do anything for you. And I said, I was like, it's been a year. there's nothing you can do. I'm done. I'm a goner. You know what I mean? Like, I stopped trying, so should you. I don't care anymore. Nothing's going to work. It's hopeless. And I said those words. And my brother, what he said to me, he was like, I am your brother, and I would do anything for you. You're my brother. Would you do anything for me? And I said, of course I would. That was a trap. Because he was like, okay, perfect. I need a favor from you. I was like, oh, why? Why did I say that? So I was like, okay, what's the favor? What do you want from me? And he said, I need you to do something different. Leave the house, get out, go on a trip, do something. And I was like, do you know how hard it was to get out of bed to go to lunch with you guys? Now you want me to go on a trip? Are you crazy? He's like, please just do this for me. And I was like, no. And then the next thing he said really shifted things. He asked, or he said, at this point, what do you have to lose? And I kind of sat with that question for a while. And that's where like time stood still. And I felt like I was the only person in the universe. And I was just processing this question. And then I really thought about it. What do I have to lose? Honestly, nothing. Because I felt like I lost everything already. So the more I processed this question, these two things came to my mind. And again, this is what put me on the path. The first thing that came to my mind was just repeating in my head over and over again that I don't want to die. Like, I don't want to go anywhere. And I just kept saying that over and over again. I just kept saying, I don't want to go. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. And I shifted my focus from the life I was living, the suffering, depressed, hopeless life, to the life I really wanted. And I just started focusing on that. And then the second thing that really helped me, and I have no idea how, like, I imagined this, but it just kind of came to me, is I imagined somebody struck a match from a matchbook, and there was this tiny little flame. And what that tiny little flame represented was the real me. The funny guy, the ambitious guy, the entrepreneurial guy, the person who would help, you know, take his shirt off your back if you were cold. And the more I thought about this tiny, tiny little flame that sat in my gut, it grew larger, it grew larger, it grew larger. All to a point where my mouth finally opened and I told my brother, okay, I'll do it. And then he was like going all crazy. He's like, oh my gosh, okay. Well, where do you want to go? And I was like, I don't know, somewhere warm. Now, I'm from Virginia. In November, it's kind of hit or miss, but at that time it was a little cold. And I was like, if I'm going somewhere, I don't want to go anywhere that's cold because I'd rather prefer, you know, something nice and sunny. So he's like, okay, well, where? And I was like, I don't know, Florida? Just the first place that came to my mind. He's like, okay, when do you want to go? And I said, soon. He's like, okay, well, do you want to go by yourself? Do you want to go with me? What's the deal? I was like, please don't let me go alone. I hate that idea. Please come with me. He's like, okay, don't worry about anything. I will send you the details tonight. That was a Sunday. Our flight was on a Tuesday. And we left for Florida. He picked West Palm Beach, Florida. Neither of us have never been to West Palm Beach. We didn't know if it was on the East Coast, if it was on the West Coast. We didn't know anything about it. He just picked it because it sounded attractive. That's the only reason why he picked it. And I remember when we first landed in Florida, the first day was absolutely dreadful. I hated every minute of it. I was like, why did I do this? This was a mistake. I should just go home. Can we please go back to the hotel? I just want to lay in the room. And then the next day, the second day in Florida, was the same thing. I just didn't want to do anything. And then I remember he and I were sitting across from each other. We're at this like table right in front of this restaurant. We're just kind of chilling, hanging out. We're just trying to figure out what to do next. And my brother, he didn't say anything. He just said, okay, I booked an event for us. You don't know what it is. I'm not going to tell you. Just walk with me. And I was like, wait, what? What do you mean? He's like, just shut up and follow me. So we're walking. And then all of a sudden we're at a crosswalk. We're about to cross a street. And all of a sudden I see the building in front of me. It's the West Palm Beach Convention Center. And I didn't think anything of it. I was just like, what are we doing here? And then all of a sudden, I look at the sign in front of the convention center. And on the sign, it says, Tony Robbins, Unleash the Power Within. And I was like, okay, I gotcha. And it was kind of ironic, and honestly, I think it was divine timing, because he and I were, we're fans of Tony Robbins, him and his work, everything he's involved with. We were involved in personal development, and it was kind of funny and ironic because we actually had a conversation about him that same day, but neither of us knew he was down there. Neither of us knew he was hosting an event. Neither of us, like, it was like legit perfect timing and the perfect place. So we went to this event, and I remember being in this room at a Tony Robbins event. And again, I'm not a spokesperson for him. I'm just some guy. And I remember being in this room of 10,000 people. If anyone knows what Tony Robbins events are like, you're in this room of thousands and thousands of people. And I had that same feeling of being the only person in the world. Like, time stood still and it was just me. And I remember sitting in my chair and I'm like, I hope this isn't like a concert. I hope this isn't like a vacation type of event where you might have fun for a little while, but then towards the end, it's like, okay, back to reality. Like, I really hope it's not like that. And I had my my disbeliefs. I didn't believe it. I was, a skeptic. I'm so glad that I played full out in that event. I did what was asked of me. I was doing the exercises. And from what I learned, literally saved my life. I took so many notes. I was learning. And from that, I found the quote unquote light bulb, the light at the end of the tunnel. I was like, oh my gosh, I want to stay here. I want to live life. There's so many more things I need to do. And from that moment, I found my purpose. I was like, oh my gosh, I know what I'm supposed to do now. I know how I'm going to help people. I'm going to help people, high performers, just like me, the ambitious people. They know they're meant for more, but they're not there yet, or they've achieved success already externally, but they don't feel fulfilled, happy, or perform at the highest level in their business or in their personal lives yet. I was like, this is who I'm going to help. And it was like as crystal clear as possible. It was like, honestly, you're gonna think I'm crazy. I felt like I had this like telepathic communication with the universe. That's legit how it felt. And then ever since that day, that's what I've been doing. I've been coaching people. I've been speaking to Fortune 500 companies. I've been just serving and helping because that's really what I want to do. And I'm so glad knowing all that stuff happened those 2 years ago. I'm so glad it happened, and it happened for me because it needed to in order for me to become the person I am today. So if I had a time machine and could go back, I would not switch a thing because I needed to experience that just so I could be the person I am today. And it was the most transformative thing ever. And the biggest thing that really I took away from it was just doing something, taking action, even though it was uncomfortable, doing something, taking a leap of faith, because at the end of the day, it saved my life. And I've been doing this ever since.
Well, yeah, I read everything that you mentioned about yourself last night, and the progression of you sharing your origin, along with sharing that personal, very vulnerable story. At a very young age, though, you mentioned like you were a person that, if somebody needed a buck, you gave them a buck because it made you feel good. Unfortunately, most of us in society today do not know how to hang on to that feeling because we end up getting wound up into societal norms of how we should live, how we should present ourselves. One person might go, oh, good for you, Carlo, for doing that. Another person might go, what are you doing? Why don't you keep that for yourself? So there's such a disparity between support and making you feel good about something to making you feel dumb about something. And at a very young age, we don't realize how it changes our programming. So, you go through your life. I'm looking at some of the notes you wrote down here. You had, you became that fitness trainer. 2020 arrives. Next thing you know, you're fired, dumped. Online business is failing. You had all these different things that go on. And many of us have those things go on in our lives where we don't know where to, we have these goals, we have these aspirations, and we get squashed. You were lucky to have that light bulb moment, as you mentioned. You were sitting there in this Tony Robbins event. Thank goodness for your brother, encouraging you and putting himself out there, taking a leap of faith with you. Really, it was a partnership. It wasn't just done by yourself, right? Thank goodness for that, for family. Sometimes it's friends. It can be anybody that gives a heck about us, that wants to help us elevate and climb out of our valley of despair. So when you had that light bulb moment, did you come to anything after the fact or during that fact of how you could help people get to that light bulb moment themselves? Or is it something that it just has to happen when it happens? Do you think there's a way that a person can accelerate that light bulb moment?
Absolutely. You know, and I think what's so fascinating to me is that when I did find that light bulb moment, it was like somebody gave me a riddle. Even though it was a simple answer, it was so hard to figure out. I've had those riddles before. So I kind of compare it to that, because I'm not saying overcoming depression is easy, because it's not. But what I am saying is that the process is simple. And when I did overcome that and get that light bulb, and I got that light bulb moment, I was like, oh my gosh, why is this so simple? I felt like I cheated, or I felt like something was wrong, but it really was. And something I would really recommend to somebody who might be going through the same thing I went through is just understand how to be self-aware. Understand yourself. And the first thing I would recommend anyone to do is understanding that your own body language, your own physiology, is literally like step one. Because what I noticed with myself, when I was laying in bed every single day, when I didn't move, it was only fueling my depression even more. And something that I learned is that the change in physiology literally sends a signal to your brain, and it kind of dictates on how you feel. So I was doing more research on this, and I was learning. And then what I realized is, like, when I was depressed and suicidal, anyone who's angry, anxious, fearful, whatever the case may be, and you look at their body language, their shoulders are rounded forward, their heads are pointed down, they're not speaking clearly, they're not enunciating, there's no energy. And from that, it kind of results in the behavior. What I learned and realized is that if I'm going to change my behavior, I need to do the exact opposite. I need to change my state. Because when I'm in a peak physical state, when I'm moving my body, and I'm, even if I'm just smiling for 2 minutes, if I'm dancing, if I'm doing jumping jacks, exercising, whatever the case may be, I do it for just a few minutes, I'm literally sending a signal to my brain that's literally making me happy. And it's producing and releasing serotonin in my brain. And from that state, I'm able to make better decisions. And the reason why I am so gung-ho about this, and that's the reason why I said it first, is because I remember there was one time when I was in this event, I was moving, and I didn't learn why. I just moved. And then when I was done, I was like, I don't know why, but I don't feel depressed right now. And I was like questioning it. I was like, is something wrong with me? What? That's why. It's because I was moving. And it's so funny now that I think about it, because when I was really, really depressed and I wasn't moving at all, I was in therapy. I was reading books, reading articles, listening to podcasts, watching YouTube videos, literally Googling how to overcome depression. And even though the information I was reading and learning about was beneficial, it was literally going through one ear and out the other, because I was not in the proper state to accept it. But when I was in a different state and I felt amazing, then everything started to make sense. So a funny way I like to think about it is, like, imagine we're in university, we're in high school, and on a normal day, you're sitting in front of class and your teacher says, hey, John, today we have a math test, but guess what? I have a cheat sheet for you. Here it is. Here are all the answers. On a normal day, when you're feeling good, you're going to accept it. But today, your classmate right next to you spilled hot coffee on you. Your shirt's all dirty and stained. You're burning because it's hot coffee. And you're angry. You're mad. You're not in a proper state. And the teacher says the same thing. Hey, John, here's a cheat sheet for the test. You could care less what the teacher says. What's going on? If pigs are flying outside, you don't care. You're just so focused on your shirt. You're hurt because you're burned. You're not in the right state. So I think the first thing I would encourage to do, if they want to find that light bulb moment, is literally change the way you use your body, because that is fundamental. If you're building a house, that's your foundation. And I would really encourage that.
Yeah, definitely. I would have to concur. You talked about being self-aware. Well, most people don't know how to be self-aware. It's not something we're taught in school, how to even reflect. Self-awareness can be done through many different things, though, too, is to sit and, you know, be reflective on your day, first thing in the day, right? Waking up and being grateful, learning gratitude and gratefulness exercises, I know helped me a lot, because it forced me to have to actually think about what's my day going to be like. And then at night, having gratefulness, well, this happened and this was the result. And even having to be grateful for those character building moments, because I got to a point as I was going through my own life, and I'm obviously coach people myself, that when we don't actually accept it, we don't literally celebrate it. Oh my goodness. I'm laying in bed thinking I did this today. A week ago, I couldn't have done that. A day ago, maybe a month ago, wow, I'm proud of myself. So that positive self-talk is so important. And when we talk to people, we need to, like you talked about, our movement and stuff's important. Leaning forward and doing stuff, and you know, that few minutes of exercise, whatever, can make us happy. A lot of people don't realize that how we talk to others, if we actually listen to our tonality, along with our movement and our body language, for myself and for many others, that can be a big difference, because our brain doesn't know the difference between a truth and a lie. So when we're communicating about something, it can be negative, but you can communicate it in a positive light and saying, this is the challenge. This is, you know, what I think the solution is, or this is my challenge. I'd really appreciate it, Carlo, if you can help me through this. My brain hears the fact that I'm in a positive sense, like my tonality, I absorb things differently. I feel better. And on top of that, like you said, if you go have a few jumping jacks or whatever the case may be, jump on a treadmill, go for a walk around the block. If you have a dog, take the dog for a walk. It does change us. And unfortunately, though, so many people get caught, just like you. You know, you just wanted to lay in the bed before you went with your brother for that year. You went with your brother the first couple of days, you wanted to lay in the bed. You had to have something that interrupted the patterns that you had allowed yourself to slip into. And then admitting it, like you've admitted it, is another step along the process and journey of us healing. So that light bulb moment did so many things for you. And you've given so many great things that other people can utilize to break through and have their own light bulb moment. But it's got to start somewhere. It's got to start with one baby step. If you're a person listening or watching and you feel stuck, you're living in depression in the past, you're living with anxiety in the future, you're having panic attacks. I've dealt with the whole gamut with family, with my clients, even myself. You got to do something that's going to interrupt that pattern that's keeping you stuck. Guess what? The first thing that you did to interrupt the pattern, you're listening to this show. You're listening to Carlo and sharing his stories. That is your first pattern interrupt. So congratulations for that. Now, what's going to be your next baby step? What are you going to do next? You're going to listen to some of the things that Carlo, just shared with you to help you. Are you going to reach out to Carlo? Maybe you're going to reach out to me. Maybe you're a listener of mine and Carlo is the catalyst for you to want to reach out to me, because you've heard me talk about many things over the last 3 years of my show with different guests. But regardless, you've taken the first baby step. Congratulations again. Take the next one. Just, you're worthy. Every person that's listening to this or watching this on YouTube, you're worthy. So take that step. Rewind, listen to what Carlo just said, because all great things that you can do to take action, because in order to change your belief system, you do have to take action, right?
Absolutely.
Right. So one of the things that I wanted to talk a little bit about, because it does come up in your story when you were sharing, and as I was reading up on you last night, was, you know, later on in your life, you realized significance played a big driver in you moving forward, you know, and you mentioned as well, significance doesn't necessarily mean that somebody else gives you that significance. At the end of the day, you have to feel significant. You got to love you. You got to love you first. It don't matter how many people tell you how great you are and try to pump you up. If you don't have the ability to feel that any of it is truthful, you're just hearing that blah, blah, blah. It doesn't sink in. So tell me when you realized specifically that significance played a large part in driving you forward, and what steps did you require to get to that point of feeling that internal significance?
Yeah. So what I realized on substituting the need of external validation, significance, what substituted that was obviously coming to terms that I was significant enough. And what really I learned was how to craft and rewrite the story I was telling myself. Because I think the biggest thing of holding people back from their potential, whether they're entrepreneurs, they want to start a business, or they have a corporate job, they want to leave, or maybe they're doing really well in both, but now they want to do something different. They're not feeling fulfilled. They don't know what else to do. They might have an idea, but they don't believe in themselves. They don't think they're good enough. They have this story that they're telling themselves, quote unquote, to them, proving that it's real. And what I realized is that it's only a belief. And what I realized about a belief as I kind of restructured this and researched it and kind of dove deeper into what a belief is literally just a story we are telling ourselves with enough emotional attachment to it. And I started to kind of dive deeper into that. And then I kind of started to find similarities. And I know this is a really touchy subject, but I just kind of wanted to bring it up because the topic of religion, of how there's countless of religions, you know, and each one says, oh, mine's right, mine's the one and only, you know, and so much so to a point that there are wars because of this. Ever since the dawn of man, this has been occurring. People are killing each other in the streets because of a religion, because you believe in something different and you're wrong. That's how powerful a belief is. So if you kind of put yourself in the driver's seat and you look at the beliefs and story you tell yourself on a daily basis and then how you perceive it as truth, that's what's holding you back. And what I realized was once I wrote down the beliefs that were holding me back. So for example, I told myself I was a failure. I told myself I was a loser. I told myself I will never amount to anything and I'll always make mistakes and I'll always fail and nothing I do is going to work. That was a story I told myself. And to kind of ingrain it deeper in myself, what my brain did, because this is the brain's job, is to look for evidence and to look for threats. So that's why one might be scared to start a business or to leave their job or to do something different, is because your brain wants to protect you. And what it does is it finds evidence to prove you, quote unquote, right, even though it might be wrong. So the evidence my brain was looking for was all the times I did fail in my business endeavors, all the times I failed in any area of my life. And that's what made it true to me, because I was associating so many things to it with so much emotion as well. So what I realized is that all of these stories are just fake, right? Because whatever is wrong is always available, but so is what's right. And our brains don't want to look for what's right. Our brains are not meant to make us happy. It's meant to help us survive. So once I realized that the story I was telling myself was just a lie, it's just a story, that's all it is. What I did is I wrote down and I exhausted myself why my limiting belief was baloney, why it was, you know, garbage. And then I wrote down, I was like a madman. I wrote down why these limiting beliefs are false. And my answer to that was, it's impossible for me to fail 100% of the time. Other people were in worse scenarios than me and they failed multiple times, but yet they became successful. I could do the same thing. And I wrote down all these reasons why my limiting belief was incorrect. And to back that up, to make it real, is I purposely found evidence to support my claim. So I would look for moments in my past and not only look for them, but I would relive them as if they were happening again. It was almost like this meditation I did. I closed my eyes and I relived and stepped back into these moments where I felt accomplished, where I felt confident, where I felt successful, where I felt attractive, whatever the case may be. And I was finding all of these moments from my life where I was all of these things. And this proved to me and solidified that I am confident, I am successful, I am worthy, I am good enough to do whatever I set my mind to. And that was really, that's what proved my new belief, my new story. And when I crafted this new story, it gave me permission to strive for whatever it is I wanted and receive it in return. And the biggest thing that's holding people back is just the story and the limiting beliefs they're telling themselves. But once you find out that you can actually overcome that limiting belief, destroy it, and find out it's not real, and rewrite your own, that's where miracles happen.
Yeah, well, most people would be shocked to actually have the realization that the story they're telling themselves was crafted by themselves based on the associations in their lives. It certainly doesn't help what they watch, what they listen to, what they read. They, like you said, they look for, your brain looks to prove the way you feel is right, right? Which is totally wrong. Normally, it's the complete opposite. And to try to change our associations can be really tough for people because they don't want that uncomfortableness, right? They don't want to feel, they don't even want to feel worse. They'll go like, I already feel like garbage. Why do I want to prove what I just believed about politics, religion, or, you know, the thing that I've been attracted to business-wise? Why do I constantly believe this stuff? Why am I doing this? I don't want to find out any other truths. I constantly challenge people that you have to step outside of your current comfort zone for success on any level, whether it's emotional, mental, physical, business-wise. If you stay where you are, your brain's going to keep you there. You're going to stay stuck running the same repeatable loop. No matter what Carlo or I say to you, it isn't going to help. It isn't going to change you. You have to be one of the willing to reflect, to want to change your story. I like how you talked about the fact that you reflected back on the stories you used to tell yourself. I've done that. It is so powerful. I think to myself, I used to tell myself this, or somebody will remind me of it. It's even good or worse, depending on how you look at it. They'll remind me of a story that I shared with them or whatever. And they'll say, well, now all of a sudden you're talking about this and that. And I'll go, yeah, you're right. And then I'll say to them, well, you know what? Things have changed. This is what I am becoming, or I have become. This is what I used to believe. Thank you for bringing that up. I'm proud of myself. Like, you may not even say that out loud to them. You might tell yourself that after you leave that conversation with that person, whether it was an email, text, face-to-face. And I'll pat myself in the back going, you know what? I remember that story now that they just triggered it in my brain. Man, look where I've come. So we have to enjoy the journey and the process and pat ourselves on the back. So I appreciate you bringing that up. Right.
Good yeah, for
you.
Yeah, brother. Absolutely.
Right. A lot of similarities. We all go, you know what? We're all human. People watching or listening, we all got challenges. We've all got, some of you may have gone through worse things than Carlo and I have. And you've circumvented, and now you're on the journey of healing, self-discovery, personal development, and you're not camped in your mindset. You're climbing. Congratulations. You wouldn't be here if you didn't want to change and continue to change, right? And if you are a person that's already practicing a lot of what Carlo and I are talking about, be the brother. Be that brother. Be that friend, right? Look what happened with Carlo. Somebody caring. Maybe his brother needed it as bad as he did. He was just a little bit farther in the climb than Carlo. But who knows? At the end of the day, he still was a little bit higher in the evolutionary climb of his mental mindset, pulled Carlo out of it. It helped him too. I don't know. What's your relationship now like with your brother? Is it stronger? Is it more cemented?
Oh, yeah. And the entire time, my brother and I have always had an amazing relationship, but it was heartbreaking at the time when I was going through that specific part of my life where he told me, he was like, I felt like I lost my brother because I couldn't talk to him anymore. I couldn't have a conversation that I could relate to anymore, that we couldn't get excited about anything anymore. And ever since coming out of that, our relationship has gotten so much stronger because he knows he got his brother back. and we're on the same wavelength, we're on the same page, we're all about self-improvement and helping each other, whether it be professionally in business or in personal lives. It's like he knows he got his brother back and even better. And so I'm just thankful to him and my entire family for doing what they did.
Carlo 2.0.
Yep, absolutely.
nothing wrong with that, brother. Like it's you know, I look at my journey through personal development. It's been now 30 years. And I reflect back, even the stories, that's another thing. People listening, you can have a story that you believe today, and 5 days from now, 5 weeks, 5 months, 5 years from now, that story could change. Something new, revelation comes into your life, new knowledge, new information that can make you think differently. Guess what? It's okay to share that with people that you've changed, that you think differently, especially because you will have people that will challenge you. I've had it. I still have it. Oh, you used to talk about this and that. That was your belief system. Yes, you're right. Thank you for bringing that up. And just be very calm about it. Don't get upset. Thank you for bringing that up. I'm proud of myself. I evolved past that. And maybe you're got a good enough relationship with that person. You say, I did this, I did that, I did this, right? This was my starting block. This was the starting block on my Monopoly board back 30 years ago. And I've lapped it numerous times. And upon it lapping and going through the different stages of life where I'm stuck in that hamster wheel, I've evolved and I continue to evolve. Maybe one moment I'm having a character building moment and I'm on the hamster wheel. But guess what? I've utilized and created the different strategies and processes and procedures in my life to help me not stay in that funk. And you can do it too. You can get to a point, those listening, that you never have a bad day. But that's impossible. No, it's not. Even the worst traumas have happened in my life in the last decade, for an example, losing people really close to me, to death, obviously. Those days, that can be considered a bad day. Of course it can. But then if I say to myself, I'm having a bad day, I discount the fact that I woke up that morning and was given another shot. I discounted the fact that maybe I seen one of my friends, family, had a great meeting during that day, even though you've got that terrible news. You're telling your brain that no matter what happens, one bad thing is going to make your day and you're just going to have a cloud over it. That doesn't have to be that way. Even the most tragic days, I can still find that silver lining in the cloud. That people think that's such a stupid statement, but you can find a silver lining. You just have to reprogram your brain to not be what it's been, where it's always keeping, like you said, in that trapped mode where it's trying to protect you and not willing to accept new information. Again, those listening or watching, you're already on the right path. I'm going to keep on congratulating you in regards to the fact that you're not camped or you wouldn't be still listening to the show. Right? So, Carlo, many of us in our lives have overwhelming things happen to us. And I would like to go a little bit more deeper into what happened to you in 2020 and then you getting into 2021 where you felt beyond bleak for you. You were in that just cocoon stage, right? You were just what you wanted to be in that ball and everybody leave me alone. You know, you have that comment that you made that I was reading yesterday, and I've heard this so much. I've used it myself. What did I do to deserve this? And I add that little pain in that because tonality is so important. What we say out loud, what we say to ourselves, our brain listens to it. Even if it's just an internal thought, how we present it to our brain is so important. So in asking ourselves this question, what did I do to deserve this? How difficult is it to be honest with ourselves and how much of the outcome we are living was our own doing? Instead of playing the blame game and blaming everybody else, you probably did it. I've done it. Blame everybody else but ourselves. How difficult was it to overcome and not say that to yourself anymore? What did I do to deserve this?
It's so funny that you say that because at the time, I didn't want to look at myself as the reason, right, why this happened. I legit was like thinking out of the box, you're gonna think I'm crazy when I say this, but I was like, was I like some really bad person in my past life and now I'm paying for it now? Maybe in this human experience this time around, I experienced rich wealthiness, you know, being rich and fulfilled my past life. Now in this life, I'm supposed to experience suffering and torment. That's literally what was going through my mind. And I wasn't at all looking at myself. What I realized is that wherever we are in life, we put ourselves there. And it's not saying like, you are a piece of garbage, you did this to yourself. It's more so of the decisions we make will ultimately lead to a response. So if somebody is stuck, let's say, for example, they have no money, they've had no money their entire lives, they had the opportunity to get financially wealthy, but their actions did not lead them there. You know, and a biggest thing I learned is like, we're going to finances, not trying to get on this topic, but like a biggest thing I learned was poor people chase salaries. Rich people chase assets. Now, to put that in context of this part of the conversation, it's people are just doing these things, no matter what it is, but it's keeping them in the same negative position. It's because of what they're doing. What kept me in that in my bed 24/7 was a story I was telling myself, was I can't do anything, so I'm not going to do anything, right? There's no point of trying anymore because I'm just going to fail. My lack of action was keeping me there, and I didn't realize that at the time. But when I finally said to myself, I'm done playing this role, I need to try one more time, doing that, taking responsibility, taking action, not knowing what the future was going to hold, I did something and it worked out. And I like the message, like the moral of the story is like, you have the power to do it. Stop telling yourself why this happened to me. You know, what? Why am I not good enough? Just stop asking those questions. When you ask better questions, when you take better actions, it will lead to better results. And I think once you stop wasting your time doing all that stuff, you will get out of that hole.
Yeah, and I agree. And those, you know, those listening or watching, you might think to yourself, well, they haven't given me a timeline for this. Why isn't there a timeline? Like, I want to start and I want it done. 90 days, 9 months, 9 years. There's no timeline. We all are a work in project the rest of our lives. How much effort are you willing to put in, and how much discomfort can you tolerate at this point in time in your mental and emotional state of life? I don't know that. Carlo doesn't know that. But what we can tell you is that there's specific steps you can take to start growing and stay out of the valley of despair, quit going to bed at night and waking up in quiet desperation. You can do it. You just have to decide how quick and what kind of pain can you tolerate? There's some people that can evolve and change in a very short period of time because their pain tolerance is different. Their story is different. Everything about them is different. Your story and pain tolerance could be completely different. It might take you longer. It might take you shorter. The secret, though, is to start. Let's get at her, right? You just got to start. Find somebody, though, that can be in your camp. Again, it's going to be a broken record. Be that brother, right? Be that friend. Do that. Do it to other people once you've got to a point like Carlo, and go and support and be a good listener, though, too. Don't think you have the answers because your life is so perfect, right? Don't think you can tell people how they're going to fix their lives. Direct and focus them. Unless you're somebody that's a professional that's been coaching and doing this for a while, the best thing you can do is be a listener and say, hey, how about I help find you some services, some, you know, tools that can help you get out of the funk you're in. So the next thing I wanted to talk a little bit more about is, I love that you talked about it in your origin. I was reading about it last night. I love that match and that flame that you talked about. And it's just a flicker. And I talk to people about similar things, you know, that spark, that seed in your brain, and you water it and that seed grows and you evolve, or, you know, there's a little spark and you have an explosion, your thoughts start racing and you think differently. I want to talk a little bit more about that, if you wouldn't mind. You know, could you share the process of what happened after you had that? Like, you mentioned a little bit, but could you extrapolate more on that, that flame vision and how it changed your confidence into the person you wanted to be?
So When I imagined it, you know, like it wasn't something that I kind of pre-contemplated. Like it literally just happened out of nowhere. And what it gave me was it told me the real Carla was down there somewhere. And I had kind of spurts every now and again. Sometimes I would get inspired, even though I was in that depressed state, and I'd be inspired or motivated to do something, but then it would kind of burn out. But I always had this feeling he was down there. And it was this certainty that the real version of myself was down there that said, I'm not done yet. You know what I mean? It's like, I still have work to do. That 1%, you know, if like we're playing a video game, we're playing Mortal Kombat, and you see that the health bar at the top of the screen, and you see that little bit of red where your character's just like barely surviving, that's what it felt like. But that was still enough for me to get going and make a decision. And how it, I mean, I don't really know how else to explain it. Just realizing, saying to myself that like I'm still alive, I still have this little bit of myself, the real version of myself in here. And as long as I just try one more time, let's see where it leads me. You know, and I wasn't necessarily super confident. I wasn't necessarily, you know, thriving, absolutely by no means, but I had somewhat of a lifeline, you know, and I took that and I said, he's down there. Let's just go find him. Let's go fish him out. And the more I thought about it, it just grew, it grew, it grew. And then that's where I made that decision to take action.
Yeah, and again, by taking action, that flame goes higher and higher, right? It literally becomes an explosion within our mindset. So I appreciate you sharing that. So Carlo, if you had to give our listeners one last closing message, what would you tell them in regards to giving a heck and never giving up?
A good one. What I'll tell them is that when you think you're done, you're not. When you think all hope is lost, there's more. All you need to do is literally do one thing, just make a decision. And I think when you take that leap of faith, your life will never be the same. And it's through the moments of uncomfortabilities where you grow. That's probably the one thing I would say.
That's a great closing message. Thanks for sharing that. You know, we have to tell ourselves that though, right? When you think you're done, you're not. There's never an end to personal development or growth in our mindset. And people, I don't know if you've ever heard this, so like from anybody or they've commented, you know, when are you going to stop that personal development journey? When's enough enough? Never. The day I take my last breath, that'll be it. Then I'm going on to my, you know, wherever you believe. If you believe in heaven, if you believe that you're going to be reincarnated, whatever the case may be, you should always be on a journey of wanting to improve the way you feel. And that's all aspects of your life, emotionally, physically, mentally. It doesn't matter. You know, the climb is the climb. And the journey along the climb makes life worth living, puts a smile on your face, puts a spring in your step. Right? Just gives us so much more, you know, reason to want to be alive, right? Just like you had that epiphany when you were, you know, contemplating suicide, right? Same sort of thing. You didn't think it was worth it. And then all the evolution that you've gone through that you've shared in this last hour, you know, those listening, you know, what a great episode. Rewind, listen to it again. Reach out to Carlo or myself if you have any questions or you believe that, you know, you're stuck because you don't have to be, but you could believe it, right? You don't have to believe that you're stuck. And again, thank you for listening, listeners, to this fabulous episode. And we're going to wrap it up now. So our time is up. I want to respect our listeners and your time, Carlo, but please share, you know, how the listeners can reach out to you. And you had also mentioned there that you might have a bonus for them. So go ahead and talk about that.
Absolutely. You know, and again, if anyone really liked this episode and they have those feelings of self-doubt, limiting beliefs, hopelessness, and they know they're meant for more, I'd love to help you and I'd love to offer you a free strategy call. All you have to do is just go to my Instagram, give me a follow, of course, show me some love, but just DM me, give a heck. So I know you came from this episode, and I'd love to have a free strategy call with you.
Fantastic. And I'll make sure for those listening that are new to the show, go to giveaheck.com, go into the podcast part of the website. You'll see a picture of Carlo, and below there, there'll be abbreviated show notes, and I'll ensure that all of his social media links are there. So you can just click on it and go and follow him, especially his Instagram, as he mentioned. And, you know, as he mentioned, just put Give a Heck and DM him and get that free strategy call. What do you have to lose? Absolutely nothing. That's what his brother said to him. And I'm saying that to you. What do you have to lose? Right, Carlo?
Amen, brother.
Any last closing messages before I wrap up the show?
No, man, not really. Just I want to say again to the people, you know, just all you have to do is survive one more day. Just live today. That's all you have to worry about. And the next day, that's when you have to worry about then.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. So thanks so much for being on Give a Heck, Carlo. I appreciate your time and sharing some of your experiences so that others too can learn it is never too late to give a heck.
Thank you for taking time out of your day and listening to Give a Heck. If you find value, I'd appreciate you sharing with your friends and family so they too can learn how to live life on purpose, not by accident. So you do not miss the next episode, please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, and please also post a review. I look forward to reading your comments. This has been Dwight Heck. If you want to check out other podcast episodes or today's show notes, please check out my website, giveaheck.com. And until next time, together let us all strive to give a heck.